Greetings and welcome back to another and ongoing series of Shirim on Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now at the top of Daf Samach Bet Amud Aleph of Masachet Baba Batra, near the beginning of the fourth parak, and dealing with a continuation of what we're dealing with in the previous podcast, which is the issue of boundaries that are presented as part of a sale, to what extent they should be interpreted narrowly or generously. And here we'll have sort of a mix. We'll start with a statement of Rav. Matzar lo metzar achad aroch, metzar achad katzar. So in selling land, the shtar read the boundary on one side as a long boundary, and the boundary on the other side as a short boundary. We have effectively three choices here. Either we read the long boundary as defining it, and then he gets the entire square. The short boundary is defining it, so he gets the smaller square. Or each one of them defining their side, and there'd be a diagonal going from one to the other. What did Rav say? Amar Rav, lo kana ela kenegad hakatzar. He only gets the smallest amount. Amru l'Rav kana v'Rav Asi l'Rav. So a student said to him, v'kenek kenegad rosh tor, at least let him get the diagonal so that we will take each one of the boundaries literally. So shatik Rav. Rav said nothing. Unclear whether Rav was really accepted their position, but we know that umo de Rav, hecha de'ika metzar ruven rishimon mechad gisa. So Rav agrees that if on one side you have two neighbors, let's imagine here that you have a field that runs north-south. And so on the east side, the first 50 yards are bounded by Reuven, and the next 50 yards are bounded by Shimon. And on the other side, the first 50 yards going north, going from north to south, are bounded by Levi, and the next 50 yards are Yehuda. And you wrote Reuven, Shimon, and then Levi. Then, since he should have written it clearly, since he wrote Reuven and Shimon on one side and Levi on the other side, he clearly meant a diagonal. Okay. Metzar Reuven Mizrachu Marav, Metzar Shimon Safon V'darom. Let's say we have the unusual case where you're bounded on all four sides, but by two neighbors, but the same neighbor is on the east and the west side, and the same another neighbor is on the north and the south side. Kind of unusual. You have to write in the shtar both sides of Reuven and both sides of Shimon, because otherwise all you'll get is a diagonal giving you one side of each. The question was, what if you have different neighbors and you only indicate each corner of your field who the neighbor is there? Does that give you the entire field or just that area? Does that give the buyer? Kamin gamma. What if it looks like a gamma? In other words, you described one line and the perpendicular line to it. Does that only give you along that line or the entire field? Baserugin mahu. What if you have a whole lot of neighbors and you identified every other neighbor? So in fact, you went all the way around, but you only identified half of the neighbors or some of them. Do you only get that slice of land? And there's all sorts of diagrams in our Gemarot that suggest what that may mean. Or the whole thing. The answer to all three of these questions is teiku. Okay, now we'll find a through a machloket about the following. Matzar lo metzar rishon, metzar sheni, metzar shlishi. Let's say that you identified one, two, and three borders of the field that you're selling. Umetzar revilo matzar lo. You didn't mention the fourth boundary. Amarav kana kol chutz metzar revii. Rav says that you get everything except for the land itself of the fourth boundary, meaning you get all three boundaries, and everything that's in the middle, there's one small strip of land you don't get. In other words, the fact that you left it out means that you were leaving it out. Shmuel amar filu metzor vi. Shmuel says, ignore the fact that you left it out, and you get all of it. Rav Asi amar lo kana elatela mechad al pnei kula. Rav Asi says you basically get a chet following the legs of the three boundaries that you did mention, and that's all you get. Why is that? So Savrala Karav, Rav Asi holds like Rav, the Amar Shiri Shir, he agrees against Shmuel that the fellow certainly left something out by leaving out the fourth. Umidashir Bametzer, the fact that he left out the boundary, Shir Nam Makula, that means he left something out in the entire piece, and all he intended to give you was a strip along those three borders. Now, how do we rule on this? Amar Rava Hilchata, this is version one of Rava, Kanaha Kol Chutz Metzer Revi'i, you get everything except for the fourth boundary, which is exactly like Rav said. What does that mean? Lomran ela de lomivla. That's only if the fourth boundary sits outside of the territory bounded by the three, and it's not included. Avamivla, but if the fourth boundary is within where those three are, then kana, you get it anyways. V'chilo mivla nami, and even if it's outside, lomar ela de'ika alea richva de'dikla v'have tishat kabin. And by the way, even if it's separate, it's only if there's a row of trees and there's 9 kabin area to plant, which means it's significant land. Like we saw in the previous podcast with the suggestion that a room has to be arba amot by arba amot to be excluded. But if it's not 9 kabin and there's no row of trees, kana, even if it's outside. So now Rava says that we rule like Rav, but we limit it only to a case where the fourth boundary that wasn't mentioned sits outside of the three and has significance to itself. So what do we read from that? Michlal d'chimuvla, we can infer from that that if it's inside the boundaries, afagav de'ikal le'richva de'dikla v'tishat kabin, even if it does have a row of trees and it's 9 kabin, kana, you still get it. Because the exclusion is only if it's outside and big and significant. Alright, that's version 1. Version 2 of Rav is Ikadam Ram Rav Hilchata Kanaha Kova Filo Metzurvi. You get everything including Metzurvi, which sounds like Shmuel, but it's not. Vlomran Ela Demivla. And that's only if it's included, meaning if the three boundaries, somehow the fourth is within them. Avalomivla, if it sits outside, lo kani. Vachimivla nami, even if it's inside, Lomran Ela Deleika Ale Richva Dedeklav Elo Havitishat Kabin. Even if it's inside, you don't get it unless it's small. It doesn't have the 9 kabin, but if it has the row of trees, etc., then lo kana, you don't get it. So in the second version of Rava, if it's not sitting inside, even if it doesn't have a row of trees, lo kana, you don't get it. So now we have two versions of Rava, which it's like Venn diagram, they share quite a bit, and then they have some differences. We'll see what they are. Shamina mitavayu lishne de Rava, from the two versions of Rava we understand, A, de besadeh lo shir v'lo midi. You certainly did not exclude anything in the field itself, so we reject Rav Asi from the get-go. Shamina nami, we also understand, dehecha de mivla v'leika alei richva de dikla, both versions will agree, this is the shaded part of the Venn diagram, both versions will agree that if the fourth boundary is within where the three are, in other words, it's with inside of the chet, then, and there's no row of trees will have a tishah kabin, it's not tan kabin worth, then kana, everybody will agree you get both versions of Rava. Lomi of life, it's outside, and it is big, it has the row of trees, etc., lo kana, then you for sure don't get it. Where is the difference? Mivla ve'ika ale, if it's inside, but it's got the trees, lo mivla ve'leika ale, or if it's outside, doesn't have the trees, itmar lal ha'gisa, v'nal ha'gisa, then we have two versions of what the halacha is. We're following Rava all the way down the road. What do we do in such a case? Shuda de dayani, we throw it to the dayani, meaning the dayani have to figure, what did the seller really have in mind? What did he intend based on his selling history, based on how he feels about the buyer, etc.? Okay, Amar Rabba. Rabba says the following. If a shtar mecher says, palga de'idli ba'ara, half a shutaf who owns 50% of some land, writes, half of what I have in the land, palga de'idli ba'ara, the half that I have in the land, is sold, then palga, then he gets, the buyer gets 50%, meaning this guy's entire stake. Palga ba'ara de'idli, but if he changes the syntax and says, half of the land that I have, then Riva, he gets 25%, meaning half of this guy's stake. So I'm going to buy Mashna Hachir, Mashna Hachir. Rabbi says, I don't see the difference. Well, the difference really is in the syntax. Ishtik. Rabba was silent. Amar Abaye, Anasav, Ishtik, Kubuli, Ka'gedla. I thought that since my Rebbe and uncle and guardian Rabba was silent, I assumed he accepted my position and said that in every case you get half. Velohi, but I was wrong. He just ignored me. Chazina Hanhu Shtari Danafk Meimar. I saw Shtar that came out afterwards from Rabba's basement, from Rabba's base din that said, Tibahuachi, Palga Deidli Ba'ara. If it said Palga Deidli Ba'ara, they stamped Palga. Palga Ba'ara Deidli, Riva, if he wrote half of the land that I have, then he got a quarter. Alright, so we see that Rabba did not accept Abaya's challenge, because Abaya's challenge is a little difficult. Rabba's presentation is very clear, because the syntax makes all the difference in the world. My half is very different than half of what I have. V'yamar Rabba, another example of this. Meitzar ara demina palga, which means the boundary of this land from which half is cut off, then palga. That means you get half. You cut off half, you get half. Right? Which means that you would get the half that's away from the boundary, and the seller keeps the half that's closer to the boundary. Meitzar ara demina psika, but if you say the land from which a piece is cut off, Then Tisha Kabin. He gets the outside 9 Kabin, which is the minimal size of a field, and the seller keeps everything but the 9 Kabin to the boundary. Amar Abai, Mashtahacha Mishnayahachi, Abai again asked Rabba, what's the difference between the two? Ishtik, Rabba was silent. Now, here it's a little different. Savramina, the onlookers thought, Idi Palga, we thought that it meant that Abaye assumed that it should be in both cases you get half, Volohi, but that's not what Abaye was pushing for. The Amar of Yemar Bar Shlamya, Lididimi for Shlamine Devaye, Abaye told me himself. Bein Metzer Ara Demina Palga, Bein Metzer Ara Demina Pisika, either phrase. I Amar Le Ilan Metzunai, if he says these are the boundaries, then Palga, it should be half. A Psika means a half. Lomar Le Ilan Metzunai, but in both cases, if you don't say these are the boundaries, Tisha Kabin, you get the smallest amount with 9 Kabin. Okay, last piece of this. Pshita, it's obvious that Amar Yachlok Ploni Ben Achasai, if Ashchivimra, let's say, says, Ploni should share my property with me, then Palga, you give him half. But Tnu Chelik Leploni, and this goes back to the Psika thing, if he says, give a portion of my property to Ploni, my, what do we do with that? Amar Vina Barkisi, Toshma, Detanya, HaOmer, Tnu Chelik Leploni, Babor, we have the following statement, that if a fellow says, again, Ashchivimra says, give Ploni a chelek of my cistern. Sumchus Omer ain't pachot mervia. You have to give him 1/4. Lechavit, but if he said, tein chelek leploni abor lechavit for the purposes of a barrel, so ain't pachot mishminit, you have to give him 1/8. Likdera, if he says, tein chelek leploni abor likdera to put in a pot, ain't pachot yud bet, it has to be 1/12 of the cistern. Litfiach for a drinking cup, ain't pachot mishishasar, it has to be at least 1/16 of the cistern. In other words, Sumchus read the directives and said, based on the way that the purpose that the fellow apportioned it, we go with the minimal thing that is appropriate for that use. Here we end up with an interesting machloka Rishonim. Almost all the Rishonim assume that means that each one of these things, the drinking cup and the pot, is sui generis and is unique to its particular position, its particular circumstance, and really the default is 1/4, like Sumchus said about the boar itself. And therefore, in our case, when the guy says chelek, you'd give him 1/4. The Rambam read it differently. The Rambam read that, and I noted on the page where the Rambam is, in Zchiyu Matana, that because we find that the smallest amount that could be given is 1/16, that's what we go with here, and therefore we give the fellow 1/16. Okay, we'll pause at this point. It's Hashem. In the next podcast, we'll pick it up from Tana Rabbanan and take ourselves to the next Mishnah, Handaf Samach Dalad Amud Aleph. In the meantime, everyone should have a wonderful day.